This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Now, NYCHA housing in New York is New York's Flint for the children that reside there.
Michaela Bonaparte has spent her entire life under the roof of the New York City Housing Authority, the oldest and largest public housing system in the country, where as a toddler, she nibbled on paint chips that flaked to the floor. In the summer of 2016, when she was not quite 3 years old, a test by her doctor showed she had lead in her blood at levels rarely seen in modern New York.
In fact, 2,000 children living in New York City's public housing have been poisoned by lead in recent years. A shocking new report issued by the Department of Health reported showing how many kids younger than 18 were found with elevated levels of toxic substances in their blood. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Meanwhile, the city's response to NYCHA children, whose ingestion of lead is toxic to many tissues and organs, including the bones, heart, kidneys, intestines, and reproductive and nervous systems in the brain, sensitive to lead exposure, was denied the evidence.
While the mayor claimed at a Bronx press conference that he had been presented along the way with these reports, only barely, the Department of Health, he said that they were contested. They would have been, that would have been the day that we started the process of turning all that around had we really known. In fact, he had mountains of evidence presented to him. The Daily News, for example, wrote in April 2015 about the Housing Authority's habit of contesting every positive lead test. When a 2-year-old boy who spent his whole life in a Brooklyn project tested positive, NYCHA performed a test and declared the apartment, lead-free.
NYCHA contested 95% of positive tests it received from the City Department of Health from 2010 to 2018. As early as May 2016, emails obtained by the Post showed NYCHA officials briefed top officials of City Hall that 202 children had tests showing elevated levels of lead in 2010 to 15. In April 2016, it was revealed then NYCHA Chief Shola Olatole had lied about the conducting of apartment inspections, which the agencies had stopped from late 2012 through May 2016. De Blasio still insisted on defending her. Still, new emails released by City Hall show that De Blasio apparently tried to hide the extent of the problem from the public.
Amidst these revelations, tenants are outraged. Danny Barber, president of NYCHA's Citywide Council of Presidents, said he lied. De Blasio lied. He outright lied. And if it was anybody else that lied, they would be locked up and put in jail. We're tired of it. The mayor should be held accountable. Now let's hear what New York Times investigative journalist David Goodman unearthed and published under the title, "While Tests Showed Children Living in NYCHA Apartments Were Being Poisoned by Lead, the De Blasio Administration's Response." Well, it was to challenge the tests.
Thanks for having me.
Well, paragraphs just stood in my mind. I certainly grew up in this city with the horror of knowing and understanding that all too many young, poor children, overwhelmingly children of color, had been subjected to lead poisoning and were permanently developmentally impaired. To hear this kind of report again and to understand that it is primarily concentrated in the New York City Housing Authority apartments, which are housing some, 400,000 people in New York, was just a punch in the emotional and political solar plexus. So I want to know, to begin with, what drew you to this research? And then, of course, we will find out about Michaela and how many more Michaelas there are living in New York City Housing Authority that are subjected to lead poisoning.
We became interested in looking into the issue of lead paint in public housing really last year, when it came to light that there had been sort of years of false paperwork that had been filed by the City Housing Authority with the federal government, certifying that they had done lead paint inspections when they hadn't been doing them. That revelation came on the heels of reporting that had been in the Daily News over the years about a child who had high levels of lead here and a child there, and sort of suggesting that there were more widespread issues in the housing system. The revelation through a Department of Investigation report about these false filings, you know, piqued interest in the Housing Authority and its handling. And then there was some reporting, but we felt like, and I felt that we hadn't really gotten to the under the surface of that story and looked at why this was happening. As you say, you know, this is a problem that's been around New York City for decades. This is not a new thing. New York City banned lead paint before actually the federal government, all the way back in 1960. That was 18 years before the federal government did so. So to have this be an issue still in 2018 is a shock. And it seems as if this is, it really underscores again what a poison we allowed to be put in our own homes in the early part of the last century. But then also the failures of bureaucracy that weren't protecting the children who lived in public housing. So we started from the premise that there was something going on, and it didn't start this year and or last year, and sort of took it from there.
The thing that is the most concerning, aside from the devastation to the development of countless young children, primarily children of color, living in public housing in New York, which of course reminds us of what happened in Flint, Michigan with the lead in the water. But for the last two decades, what you write, almost every time a child in the apartment of a NYCHA apartment tested positive for high lead levels, NYCHA launched a counter-offensive. City records show. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, I mean, that was what was most disturbing to us. And again, something that came out in the federal complaint against the Housing Authority, there was a long federal investigation of the Housing Authority on a myriad of different points, including the issues of mold and how they sort of repaired the apartments in general. But one of the issues that they raised is that the health department would go into an apartment. And let me step back for a second, actually. What would happen is a child tests positive for lead, and that happens when they go to their doctor. And most kids are tested. All kids are required to be tested before the age of two and often get more tests before the age of six. And that's, as you know, the most critical stage, because that's when the child is developing and when the lead can really alter that development sort of irrevocably. So when a child tests positive, the doctor will tell the health department. The health department will then, if it's over a certain level, will go and look for the source of that poisoning because they want to put an end to it as fast as possible. That's very critical. And so they'll go to the home because for toddlers, that's often the source of the exposure, and lead paint is the primary source of that exposure. And so what they would do is send a person with a pretty high-tech device that would actually could use X-ray fluorescent technology to look beneath the layers of paint and find where lead paint may be lurking. And if they find it, then send a note to the really an order to the landlord to tell them to, you got to fix this spot. And they did that. They do that in private housing and they do that in public housing. And what we found and what was most disturbing was that when they sent one of those orders, when the health department ordered the public housing system to fix and to correct a spot that had lead paint, the housing authority would fight them 95% of the time. This is since 2010. So in the last, you know, 7.5 years, 95% of the time in public housing, they fought. And when we ultimately were successful in getting data for the same orders in private housing, we found that private landlords, who don't have a great reputation generally, would only fight the health department 4% of the time. So this is a procedure that essentially only existed in public housing and was particularly disturbing because you had a child who was already testing positive for lead, and rather than fixing the spot that the health department had ordered them to fix, they came in and said, we don't believe that your test is correct.
And then you have the issue of the health department, which your article says that they backed down in 158 of 211 cases that came from public housing. Talk about that. I mean, that's extraordinary.
That's right. I mean, that was also, that was a concern to us as well. They became convinced that their procedure, their device, could result in more false positives than one might expect. And so when they go and check an apartment, they would often find lead on the components of the apartment. So one of the things things that we found in our reporting was that while NYCHT, while the Housing Authority didn't use lead paint in a widespread fashion on the walls, it did have lead paint pretty broadly on components of the apartment, so on pipes, on door frames, on radiators. And the problem there is that, and on windows, the issue there is that those are the spots that are most likely to flake and most likely to cause dust. So that's the most dangerous thing for a child. Lead paint is safe as long as it's not flaking or causing dust. If you have it on your wall and it's undisturbed, it's not a hazard. But it was found on these metal components, and the sort of diabolical thing about that was that when they used their device to test for the lead, if they tested on metal, they often got other signals back besides the lead, and they became convinced that that was giving them a false positive. Now, in our reporting, we were able to show, and not all of this ended up in the article because it was very technical, but there was reason to believe that they were believing that they got a false positive more frequently than they actually did. But in any case, they believed that their device had a high proclivity for false positives, and that test that the Housing Authority used to try and disprove them by taking a chip of paint was more reliable. Now, the trouble with that, as we reported, is that 20 years ago, the Housing Authority itself said that that paint chip analysis could result in false negatives, meaning that you could do that test and you would say there's no lead when actually there was. Because 20 years ago, the Housing Authority was in the opposite position of trying to prove that they had a lot of lead, because the Housing Authority and the city itself was suing the lead paint companies, trying to recoup some damages from the companies for all the sickened children in public housing.
You know, one of the things that I should just mention on a practical basis as somebody who happens to be a tenant practitioner for the Legal Aid Society, I mean, I don't think that people even understand at this point. I mean, there are very specific things that happen. For example, if you are in housing court and you complain about the conditions in your apartment and you ask for an inspection, the Department of Housing Preservation and Development has inspectors that go out. But when you live in public housing, the inspectors go out, but they refuse. They will not write up a violation, which has enormous implications for whether you can get abatements, whether there is a presumption of a finding that there really is a condition, and et cetera. So while they will write a description of something, they don't posit it as a violation, which has everything to do with the issue of what will be corrected, even when you commence litigation yourself against the Housing Authority in housing court. So the whole thing is so insidious and problematic. And we can go back, and your article certainly does, to when Mayor Bloomberg, for example, stopped doing apartment inspections at all. And I want you to talk about that and the kind of continuum of callousness, of negligence by city administration in response to this burgeoning or existing problem, which their only real response was to seek to bury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, right, this clearly the problem didn't start in this administration, and even may in some cases have predated the Bloomberg administration. But they certainly, when they came in, this was not top of their list of issues. And one of the things that the Bloomberg administration did, I think it was it's August of 2012, is they decided that, consultation with HUD, Department of Housing and Urban Development, is to no longer go into every apartment and check for conditions there. That was something they were doing routinely every year. But the problem is when they stopped doing that, they weren't checking for lead paint anymore, or at least they couldn't certify that they were every year as they were required to do. But as we discovered, they actually weren't doing that long before. And in talking with residents and with maintenance workers and other officials at the Public Housing Authority, you know, they said these apartment inspections weren't robust at all. What they were meant to do was go around and look for every bit of peeling paint, of flaking and chipping, because as I said before, it's not a danger if the paint is intact. It's only a danger if you have this kind of peeling and you know there's lead paint there, or you believe there might be. And so they were required every year to check and make sure that the paint wasn't causing a hazard. And they weren't doing that. And then they were certifying that they were doing it. And it was explained to me, or the way that it was sort of justified to me, at least, you know, off the record, or not by name, is that they had other bigger problems, essentially, in public housing. They weren't getting enough funding, which is true. And they had this backlog of repairs. You know, you have the leaks from the the roofs. You had mold that comes from that. Mm-hmm. And really, these sort of you start defunding public housing, and you start to pile up the problems. And you know, lead. You know, it's almost metaphorically, it was at the bottom of the list, and literally, it's sort of underneath many layers of other issues. And so, but what happens is, you know, when there's leaking and there's mold and there's sort of issues with plaster, that actually brings to the surface some of the lead and the dust, and all these kind of problems compound on each other. And so, you know, you mentioned before about how essentially NYCHA is left to do its own inspections or sort of police itself. And that's one of the problems here, is that the Housing Authority was essentially self-certifying that it was doing these inspections, and the federal government was meant to oversee that and really be a check to make sure that they were doing it. But the federal government was falling down on its job as well. And I think, you know, not enough can be said about how, you know, Congress and multiple administrations have defunded public housing, especially the kind of public housing we have in New York, where it's directly funded and not through Section 8. And, you know, there's all the you can load up criticism on the management. And I think that there's a lot that we can say about how they mismanaged the situation. But I also think, you know, they were sort of dealt a hand that didn't have that was losing from the start in a certain sense.
Well, I should say that I'm a staunch advocate of public housing. I believe it's the I believe in housing in the public domain, but this is what my grandmother certainly would have referred to as a shanda. It's just an outrage. And I you know, part of your article talks about in 2017, contractors hired by the city visited 8,300 apartments and found potential lead paint hazards, peeling or flaking paint or dust in 80% of them, according to the records produced. And by the way, we are speaking with David Goodman about the incredibly important story about tens of thousands of children living in public housing, in the 400,000 apartments in public housing, and their potential for lead poisoning, and of course what that means for their future development, since it is not a reversible phenomena. It's extraordinary and it's staggering. And the response of the de Blasio administration, the response of Shola Alatoye, who was the commissioner, who I might say in virtually every instance was certainly the worst, one of the worst commissioners that was dealing with public housing in a myriad of areas, and that included also issues of mold remediation, which really proliferated and exacerbated after Hurricane Sandy, where some of the largest housing complexes, certainly in Coney Island, Rockaway, Red Hook, and many other areas, were just sorely infected by the mold conditions after the flood, etc. So tell us more about what the consequences have been and what or how the de Blasio administration and its staff has particularly addressed this phenomenal, unconscionable problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, one thing that was disturbing early on, so as it started to come to light late last year, and as we delved into it more, it was clear that the Blasio administration began learning about these inspection failures in 2016. So this is, you know, fully two and a half years ago. And people within the Public Housing Authority knew about the fact that they had not been checking for lead paint hazards in the way that they were supposed to be doing even before that. And so the problem was that when Shola Alatoye and other officials learned that this was an issue, and even City Hall eventually found out in the spring of 2016, they didn't level with residents. They didn't tell residents, hey, we haven't been, you know, doing what we were supposed to be doing to make sure that there's no hazards in your apartment. What they did was they sent a note to apartments where there were children under six and where they knew there might be lead paint because of the when the buildings were built. They were either built before 1978. Or because they had tested them back in the late 90s and found that there was a probability that there was lead in the whole development. And so they sent a note to these families and said, we're going to need to get into your apartment to do a lead inspection. And that, you know, this was part of a letter that was put under the door of these families, and it was sort of presented as something that was part of Healthy Homes Month in the month of June. This is a thing that the federal government does in public housing across the country. And so it didn't, you know, have any kind of signaling that there was a problem. And it certainly didn't tell the residents that they had that the public housing authority had been falling down on the job for years. What it did was say, hey, we just need to get into your apartment. So the urgency wasn't there, and the honesty wasn't there with the residents. And one of the, it was explained to me by several people who were involved in this thinking that they didn't want to cause a panic. And that's what they told me. And, you know, I think that that's wrong. I think people deserve to have all the information about what's happening in their home. But I also think it's indicative of the approach of the administration to this issue. What they did was they looked at the statistics on lead poisonings for children in the city. And it's true that the number of children who have high levels of lead has gone down over the years. This is what you would expect from a substance that was banned, you know, 60 years ago, or almost 60 years ago in the city. So the general trend has been for decades that it's going down, and it's been going down. But that's not an excuse for not informing people when there's potential danger. And they also said to themselves, this is not as much of a problem in public housing as it is in private housing. And that's another thing that when you look at the statistics, that's accurate. But the issue, too, is that here we have a special responsibility to the people who live in public housing that's being financed by our government to be honest with the people that we're housing. And they didn't do that. And they didn't do that for quite some time. They finally came forward and described the failures more than a year after they initially discovered it. And they did so in such a de minimis way that it really didn't come to full public attention until after the November election last year, when this investigation report about the false filings to the federal government came out. And at that point, people started looking back and reporters started looking back and saying, "What, you guys have not been telling us the full truth about what's been going on." And after that, you started seeing top-level officials at the Public Housing Authority resign. They will never admit that they were forced out or fired, but, you know, the person who was in charge of the whole lead program, the person in charge of the operations, then the general manager, the head lawyer, and finally Shola Olatoye were all shown the door the next few months. And the administration has tried to say now they're owning this problem. It's a problem they didn't create, but there is a problem that they are trying to own now. The problem, from my perspective, is that there was a long time when they could have stepped forward and taken ownership, and they didn't do so publicly.
So let's go back to Michaela Bonaparte. Michaela's mother lived in Tompkins Houses, which is in Brooklyn, her grandmother in the Gowanus Houses, which is very near WBAI studios. Tell us what has happened with Michaela so that we can put a human face on this and understand the dimensions of this problem. And I certainly should say that Shola Olatoye, the idea that there has not been, as far as I'm concerned, a criminal prosecution is a really just amazing to me, given the complete deliberate falsification of documentation, et cetera. So while Mr. de Blasio is talking about inspections now, and I must say I certainly don't know, and the Brooklyn Office of the Legal Aid Society covers the entire borough of Brooklyn, I have not heard of a single solitary inspection yet in Brooklyn, the largest of the boroughs with one of the largest stock of public housing, other than Queens, which has Queensbridge Housing. Where have the inspections been? But notwithstanding that, tell us about what has happened with Michaela Bonaparte.
Michaela is a, you know, wonderful little five-year-old girl that we met when we were trying to find someone who could really illustrate this problem. We met a lot of children and their families, and each one was, you know, really heartrending to see some of the conditions that they were living in. It's not just that you have children who are exposed to lead paint, but you had, you know, vermin, and there were, you know, unrepaired kitchens and things like that that just are less than fully ideal for someone who's growing up, you know, a child in New York City. Michaela, we came upon after searching around discovering that she had not only lived in one NYCHA apartment that had been discovered to have lead in it, but actually her grandmother also, they discovered, had lead after she tested positive. And I should back up. So when she was not yet 3 years old, she was sort of acting strange, and her parents observed her having, you know, putting the paint, at least paint chips, in her mouth in her grandmother's apartment. And so they go to the doctor, and she tests positive for lead at a level that is about eight times the current standard for the health department getting involved. This is a very high level of lead. one of the highest ones that we saw while we were out reporting. And the health department went to both her mother's house and in the Tompkins houses and to the grandmother's house, and in both instances found lead in the walls and in the components there. So they sent an order to correct, and the housing authority in both instances sent their own inspector, checked it, and said, no, there's no lead here. The problem is Michaela was still sick. She was still not herself. She was acting hyperactive. She was also lethargic. And these are, you know, every child reacts to lead in their blood in different ways. But when we spoke to doctors, these were sort of behaviors that were consistent with someone that had elevated lead in their blood. And she went back and got tested a month later, and she still had very, very high levels of lead. It was slightly lower than it had been. And part of that may be because she was no longer eating it. Her parents were watching her. Her mom was watching her and her grandma. And they also had, because the housing authority hadn't come in to do anything, they took it upon themselves to put duct tape over the areas of the apartment that had peeling paint. So they were sort of trying to keep her away on their own. But she still had very high levels of lead. And so the health department went out again to both apartments. And again, in both apartments, they found that there was lead. They used a different test the second time. Instead of using their high-tech device, they used a very low-tech method, at least of collection. They just take a piece of a special cloth and they wipe the surface of the floor and around where they think there might be lead, and they found lead dust. They send those to a lab and they check, and there was lead in the dust on the floor. And so at that point, the housing authority conceded that there is dust and lead in this dust. And so they come in with a vacuum cleaner, essentially a very high-tech vacuum cleaner and some solution, and they can clean up the dust. But what they didn't do is ask themselves or do any kind of check to see where that dust came from. Mm. Which, you know, as we know, this is not, if you have a source of lead paint, you know, through friction and through wear and tear, that's going to create more dust. And they didn't bother to look and see where that had come from. So she's now in the course, her family has filed a lawsuit to try and get some action from the housing authority. They filed it a couple of years ago now. Then the housing authority, after about a year after discovered to have high levels of lead in her blood, they went in and they made some repairs in her apartment. They did a paint job. And they put some new tiling on her floors because it was pretty bad situation there. But they never did the kind of work that you would do if you were saying there's lead in this apartment. There's a whole protocol and they have to be very careful about not creating more dust. And they didn't do that because they never, they haven't acknowledged to this day that there actually was lead in these apartments.
Horrible. I really have to compliment you on the extraordinary reporting on this critically important issue. And I want to thank you, David Goodman, for joining us and revealing this most important issue of the tests that showed children were exposed to lead, and encourage people to check out the article in the New York Times.
Thanks for having me and for bringing it to more people's attention.
Great. And we've been speaking with reporter David Goodman, New York Times. Read his work. He's a great writer. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.